الحمد لله الذي جعل شهر رمضان سيد الشهور أفاد فيه الخير والنور يعيش المسلمون في ظله بسعة وحبور سبحانه يغفر الذنوب ويستر العيوب ويغيث المكروب وهو علام الغيوب وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له فرض علينا الصوم تحذيبا للنفوس وتحقيقا لتقوى القلوب وأشهد أن سيدنا وقائدنا وشفيعنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله الصادق الأمين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله الطاهرين وصحابته الغر الميامين ومن تبعهم وسار على دربهم إلى يوم الدين أما بعد Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we welcome you all once again to weekly lectures organized by Al-Quran wa Sunnah Society of New York, and it pleases us to have with us today one of our noble sheikh from Jeddah, the well-known caller to Al-Islam, Fadilat al-Sheikh Muhammad al-Maliki Hafizahullah Ta'ala wa Ra'a. And you all know him very well, inshallah, since he has traveled and made many visits to England as well as to the Caribbean. We thank him for making himself available for us and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward him tremendously for his efforts. Our today's session is exclusively for many questions which we received through our website www.albasira.org, and we will try to go through all questions today, inshallah. And now, without any further delay, I ask our today's guest to proceed. فليتفضل مشكورا مأجورا.
الحمد لله رب العالمين ولي الصالحين زائد الطائعين رحمة من عنده سبحانه وتعالى والذائدين عن هذا الدين القائل إنا لننصر رسلنا والذين آمنوا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Dear brothers and sisters, today, Friday, the first day of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. As we lived last night, the first night of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. These nights which Allah Ta'ala swore by in Surah Al-Fajr, by saying, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ. By the dawn and the 10 nights, and the prayers in them, which is the Shaf and Witr. These nights in which Laylatul Qadr is included, the night which Allah Ta'ala said as in Surah Al-Qadr that it equals the reward of 84 years of worshipping. As he subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alf shahr. تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربي من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. These nights whom the people who love Allah found it too late or too far from them during the whole year, counting the days and nights, the hours and minutes and seconds in order to reach it. They were waiting for long for it to come, and today they are in it. So what shall they do in it? Aisha radiallahu anha, as in Bukhari and Muslim, said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used whenever the last night approach, he used to spend all night awake and he awakes his family, and he become more serious in worship. Although he was always serious in worship, and he was the best worshiper ever known, but he spends all night, as he says in the other hadith, and the first 20 nights of Ramadan, the Prophet ﷺ used to mix between praying and sleeping at night. But in the last 10 nights, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not use to sleep. However, he used to spend all night worshipping Allah by various kinds of worship. Either worshipping Him by standing in prayer, or worshipping Him by reciting Quran, or worshipping Him by invoking and supplicating Him. All these kind of worship and remembrance of Allah is a great worship. The Muslim should exercise these days. And she also said that he ﷺ used to do more worshipping deeds in the last 10 nights than any other nights in the year. And that's why Ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala said that in this hadith there is an encouragement to continue worshipping Allah in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And there is a signal or an indication to end up Ramadan in a good way. This night, the night of Laylatul Qadr, can be found any place in the world, anywhere in the world, as in it Allah Ta'ala sends down all the blessings, all the sustenance of the coming year, all mercy. So people need, and when we say all mercy, we don't mean that all mercy of His subhanahu wa ta'ala, but all mercy that He subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to the mankind in this life would be seen in that night. As in the hadith reported by Ibn Majah, on the 30th of Anas ibn Malik, and authenticated by Imam Albani in his book Sahih al-Targhib, hadith number 986, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, when Ramadan first comes, he said to them, verily this month I've broached you now. In it there is a night which is better than 1,000 months. Whomsoever loses that night and misses it is the one who misses the whole good, the whole khair. And whoever misses that night, or he says, and no one would miss that night except somebody who is a real loser. So we need to show Allah what pleases Him in these nights. We need to do i'tikaf if we can, anywhere, any masjid, in any masjid in the world. Although there are different opinions from the scholars, with all respect to all scholars, but i'tikaf is to free yourself from all relations except the one with Allah. So you remain in the mosque, away from this life, away from the dunya, away from the attraction of it, away from the problems and whatever it is in it, just to worship Allah. Away from slandering, away from backbiting, away from mocking, away from cheating, away from harming others, just to make your part, your body parts, live into peace, live with mercy, let it to enjoy the blessings of these nights. So may Allah make it after Ramadan a better body and a better body part. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ used to do i'tikaf, as in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Sahih Bukhari. He radiallahu anhu said that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ used to do i'tikaf in every Ramadan for 10 days. But when it was the last year that he left, he did i'tikaf for 20 days. And that's only to free himself for worshipping Allah. So may Allah Ta'ala make him one of those who stands on the night of Laylatul Qadr, in which Allah Ta'ala sends down all blessings and mercy and sustenance. The ulama and the salaf, the pious predecessors, used to deal with this night differently, different from all others. They used to stay in the masjid, and in between Maghrib and Isha they take shower and perfume, use incense, and put on a the better clothes they have, and stand for Isha and Taraweeh and Qiyamul Layl in a good way. So we need to show Allah Ta'ala in these nights what pleases Him Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and what make us be very strong. And the best of what to be done in this night, besides Quran, is dua, supplication. As Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala said, dua in that night is more beloved to me than prayer. And he means just to show how important dua, and it is more important than prayer. So one needs to show Allah a lot of dua, a lot of supplication. And that's why when Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, see if I be in Laylatul Qadr, what should I say next? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told her to say, Allahumma innaka afuwun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. O Allah, you are a forgiver and you love forgiveness, so forgive me. And that's reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi. So we have to spend these nights in a good way. We have to be away from all what can destroy the beauty of this night, Laylatul Qadr. And we have to avoid fighting, quarreling, debating. Just be free yourself to worshiping Allah. Even if others are willing to debate or talk about others, even if they say this is about yani deen, just say the Salaf used to close all the books of hadith, which is better than your talk, and only open the book of Quran. So they live with Quran only in the last 10 nights. That's what we need to do in order that we go back to the golden days of the Sahaba. So may Allah Ta'ala resurrect the Ummah once again to this life, so they can carry the responsibilities of delivering the da'wah correctly, with peace, and show mercy to the others, and make others to accept Islam and accept the da'wah salafiyah. That's all what I wanted to introduce this session today. And inshallah Ta'ala, we're going to start with the questions that Brother Zahid Jazahullahu Khayran for all what he does for the da'wah salafiyah in whole world. Jazahullahu Khayran, and may Allah make his scale of reward heavy in the day of resurrection with this guidance that he gives to all in all around the world. He Jazahullahu Khayran just mentioned that inshallah Ta'ala we're going to go through the questions that been sent to albasira.org, and inshallah Ta'ala we're going to start with the first one now. And the first one was from a sister saying that I have been doing a research on circumcised women, and I read that it doesn't decrease sexual stimulation but increases it. Also that some people remove too much, that only a small amount is to be removed. And says, I'm American and I speak English. So there are not mean books on this. I am 22 years of age, and I have a child. My husband said that after 1 year, my desire for sex should have went down, that I am not normal. He says this comes from not being circumcised. So if I am to get circumcised, I want sex so much. My question is it preferable for women have a woman to be circumcised at birth? I also would like to know if the hood of the cultural area is removed, it is more clean, like when the men are circumcised. Well, yani the conclusion of this question is 2 points. The first point is circumcising decrease or increase the desire of sex. Does it relate to cleanliness like a man? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith mentioned that the circumcision for the man is for cleanness. And for woman, he said that he said to the woman, to Umm Atiyah, who used to circumcise the girls when they are born, not to take too much and not to leave it as it, as when it is left, it is, you know, more yani there will be more desire of sex, and when it is cut very much, then it kills the desire of sex. And what has been said to this sister is not true, or what she wrote read in the book is not true to what the Prophet ﷺ said. And even if it is something that people are saying that they found in feeling, we still have the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, which is authenticated, and that the thing should be taken. It is for the man obligatory, for the woman it is recommended, and the sunnah, it is not obligatory. And the reason is that for the man it is for cleanness, but for woman is only for controlling the sexual desire. My advice is that if it is allowed in where you live, when you deliver a girl or a baby girl, then have it circumcised then, but not to leave it until she is adult or she become a woman, because it would be very difficult for her. But if you are in a place where it is not allowed, like almost all the world except for Saudi and Yemen and some other places, then it is better to do it in that time. I mean, if you are living in a place where it is allowed. But if it is not allowed, then leave it, because it is not obligatory upon the woman. But upon the man, it is obligatory. So we won't leave it for them. We have to, inshallah ta'ala, exercise it, but yani with those who have experience on that.
أحسن الله إليكم أولا حفظكم الله وجزاكم الله خيرا على هذه الموعظة الطيبة حفظك الله. And the next thing we would like to mention, that please, we would like to remind our noble brothers and sisters to please search for answers in our audio lounge or in our discussion forums before posting questions. We have received some repetitive questions which have been answered during past sessions. So please look for the questions truly before posting your questions, and please be very brief and short in wording your questions. This question which Sheikh Muhammad al-Maliki just answered, it was previously answered, hafizakum Allah. And there are some other questions as well about moon sightings. which have been previously answered by Sheikh Saleh Al-Luhaydan, Hafizahullahu Ta'ala Wara. You can find his lecture in our audio lounge. If you go for his, if you click on his name, you will see a lecture, Obligations of Muslims in Ramadan. And he went through this question already. So we will select only those questions which are not answered previously, only to save some time so we can go through most questions or as many questions we can. So inshallah we will go through to the questions which are related to Ramadan first, and then we go to other questions inshallah. تسمحوا لنا شيخ أقرأ عليكم أسئلة؟ طيب, thank you very much. Jazakumullah khairan. And the question is, Hafizakumullah, in the last 10 days of Ramadan, is it permissible to make i'tikaf in any masjid other than the masjid of our beloved Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam? Afiduna barakallahu feekum.
Jazakumullah khair. Naam, I have just mentioned that in my introduction, and I said that there are two different opinions for the scholars. There is no clear evidence for that, except for the hadith which says لا اعتكاف إلا في المساجد الثلاثة. And this hadith is authenticated, but then the observation of it or the understanding of it is not to be only in the three masajid. But as Sheikh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala said that it is treated as the hadith لا صلاة بحضرة طعام ولا وهو يدافعه الأخبثان. The Sheikh said that this hadith of i'tikaf in the three mosques only is treated same as the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said that prayer is not to be done when food is served or when somebody is pushed by urine or stool. And that means, as the Sheikh said, that this hadith doesn't mean that the one who pray while food is served, his salah is not acceptable. But he says that his salah is not a perfect salah. He's not going to have a complete niwal because his mind is going to be busy with the food, especially when he's hungry. And he said that the same thing with i'tikaf. When you are in the masajid, the three masajid, in Mecca, in Medina, and in Palestine, may Allah return it back to the Muslims. These three masajid, you know that the reward in them for each prayer is more than others in other places. Like for al-Masjid al-Haram, 100,000 times. Masjid al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa in Medina, 1,000 times. And Masjid al-Aqsa, 500 times. So it's an encouragement to get more reward than others. But many scholars said that i'tikaf in other mosques is allowed, and many of the Salaf did i'tikaf in the masajid of Al-Basra, of Al-Kufa, of Al-Sham, and many other places. Wallahu A'lam. So i'tikaf is allowed. And even those who said that i'tikaf is only in the three masajid, they said, and nobody doubt that it is better for the person to stay in the masjid. There are many hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, "انتظار الصلاة بعد الصلاة ذلكم الرباط ذلكم الرباط." Waiting for salah after, if you join the salah and wait for the other salah in the masjid, that is ribat. That is staying with the mujahideen on the borders of the land of Islam to push the enemies away. So Isa mentioned that, and he said that the man is the angels will seek forgiveness for the person who stays in where he prays until the other prayer comes. So there are a lot of evidences for the beneficial of staying in the mosque, and staying in the mosque means freeing oneself from being nervous or fighting or backbiting. It's in the place where all good only seen there. So as a conclusion to my opinion, I choose the opinion of most of the scholars who said that i'tikaf is allowed in any mosque in the world, but it is better to be in the three mosques, the three holy mosques, the one Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Rasul, and Masjid al-Aqsa. And for yani, that's the opinion we take. Wallahu a'lam.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. The next question from a sister, she says, we have a masjid to which many people come, especially during the month of Ramadan. However, there are two major problems which occur. First, the issue of the food. What is your advice to those who do not clean the masjid after eating, even though they are asked constantly by the administration to clean after the food? Because this can lead to the musallin having to pray on dirty carpet with food everywhere. Secondly, once the food is over, most of the sisters do not pray Taraweeh, but instead sit in the back of the musalla or in the hallway and talk with laughter and loudness, destroying our khushu. And they also allow the children to disturb us as well. All this is with the fact that we constantly try to advise and plead with the Muslims to have mercy on their brothers and sisters and respect Allah's house, but to no avail. Is it permissible to ask them not to come to the masjid if they are not going to pray or listen to the Tilawat al-Quran, or to prevent them from bringing their small children? Please advise. Barakallahu feekum.
Naam, jazakallahu khairan. The sister is asking about two points. The first point is cleaning the mosque. Well, first of all, let us just here emphasize the reward of cleaning the mosque even in regular times. We all know that there was, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a black woman whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam missed her one day, and he asked the Sahaba, and they told him that she died when he was having qaylula, sleeping at the dhuhr time. And after praying Dhuhr, and then he sallam told them, what did you do with her? They said that they had it washed and shrouded, and then they did the prayer of janazah and they buried her. He sallam was very angry and he said, why didn't you awake me, lead me to her grave? So he came to the grave and did the janazah prayer there, and then he said that yani, this woman is a woman of Jannah. And he mentioned that she only used to dig the small dirt from the mosque, just small dirt that cannot be seen. She used to clean the mosque. And he ﷺ said that cleaning the mosque or digging the dirt from the mosque is the mahar, is the doer of the hur al-een. And maybe sisters would say, okay, we won't clean because hur al-een are female and we are female, no mahar from female to female. Now we say the Muslim woman from the children of Adam and Hawa is going to be the queen for the Hur al-Ain. So if the one Hur al-Ain is very beautiful to the limit that if she just exposes her face to the dunya, there will be no night, or if she spits to the seas, it will be all sweet. If this is one Hur al-Ain, what about the mini Hur al-Ain? And then what about the queen of the Hur al-Ain? The queen of the Hur al-Ain is going to be given more beauty than the Hur al-Ain. So yani, by cleaning the mosque, you are pleasing Allah, and you are also at the same time you are gaining the highest ranks in the Jannah. The second thing in this issue is that dirtying the masjid is dirtying the house of Allah, is disrespecting the house of Allah. This shows the disrespect to Allah. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Those who respect the Sha'air includes the worshipping deeds and the worshipping places. مَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. See, when Abraha came with disrespect to the house of Allah and he wanted to demolish it, how did Allah destroy him and his army? So my advice to the sisters and the brothers as well, because we see this also from the brothers, that they don't clean when they eat in the masjid. First of all, they are not allowed to bring food that have smell, especially the one has garlic cooked in it and onion as well. Also, when they eat in the masjid, even if the food has no smell, bad smell, they have to clean. They have to perfume. We know that the Prophet ﷺ encouraged Muslims to clean the masjid and to perfume it with incense and with others. So we have to take care of the masajid. If it is in our houses, we don't accept that when the guests come, our house be dirty. So how we keep the house of Allah dirty while the guests are coming? The people who come to pray are the guests of Allah. They came to pray in the mosque. So we should not cause such kind of defect to the mosque. However, we need to clean and show respect to the mosque, which is the house of Allah. The second thing, those who stay in Ramadan after Isha, whether from the sisters or the brothers, whether in your mosque or even which we see in Masjid al-Haram or Masjid al-Nabawi, after Isha, they say we want to be on the Sunnah. We do only 11 rak'ah. What they do, they just stay remaining there, talking to each other, disturbing the people who are in prayer, and maybe joking, laughing, and that's bad from two sides. The first side is that they did not adhere to the Sunnah if they say they want it. Because the Sunnah to them is what the Prophet ﷺ said. مَنْ قَامَ خَلْفَ إِمَامِي حَتَّى يَنْصَرِفْ كُتِبَ لَهُ قِيَامُ لَيْلَةٍ. For you, you are not the Imam, you are the one who is coming to pray behind the Imam. If you stay behind the Imam until he leaves, and here doesn't mean the Imam Mr. So-and-so. For example, in Mecca, it doesn't mean Shuraim or Sudais. No, it means the whole prayer. Even if Shuraim did 10 rak'at and then he left, you cannot leave and say, I will get the reward of standing whole night, because the prayer is still continuing with Sudais. Exactly when you are praying fard behind an Imam and he breaks his wudu and he leaves, one of the row will step forward and lead the jama'ah. So what do you say? I make taslim because my imam finished? Now that's not acceptable. You are supposed to do the salah as it is. But the saying of Aisha, مَا زَادَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي رَمَضَانَ وَلَا فِي غَيْرِ عَلَى 11 رَكْعَةً, when she said that the Prophet ﷺ did not pray more than 11 rak'ah in Ramadan and other Ramadan, that's for the imam. We encourage the imams to pray 11 rak'ah. But if they want to pray more than that, we can't say that this is bid'ah, this is haram, because the Prophet ﷺ was asked and he said, صَلَاتُ اللَّيْلِ مَثْنَا مَثْنَا فَإِذَا خَشِيَ أَحَدُكُمُ الصُّبْحَ فَلْيُصَلِّ وَاحِدَةً تُوتِرْ لَهُ مَا قَدْ سَلَفَ. Then I'd pray are two rak'ah, and if one fears the fajr, let him to pray one rak'ah, that will make the witr for him for all night. But the guidance for the ma'mumin, the people behind the imam, is clearly said by the Prophet ﷺ himself, not by Aisha, but by the Prophet ﷺ. He guided the ma'mumin, the people who pray behind the imam, to wait until the whole prayer is finished, so they get the reward. The second thing, if they insist to say, no, we are with the opinion that says only 11 rak'ah, we say then, those ulama who said 11 rak'ah, they say it is forbidden for you to disturb the people who are praying. It is forbidden for you to stay there in the masjid and talk and joke and laugh and cause all this defect to the masjid. That's not allowed. Even you are not allowed to stay aside, to sit aside holding a Quran and recite loudly, because you are going to disturb the others. If it is not allowed to pray loudly in your house, if your family are sleeping, so you don't disturb them, so how come it is allowed to disturb the people who are praying? Ikhwa, we have to have fiqh of this sharia. This sharia, many people, unfortunately, they are dealing with the nusus as letters and text, and that's it. They don't deal with the fiqh of them. And that's why there are people who have information and people who have knowledge. There is difference between information and knowledge. Information, even shaitan has information, but he doesn't have the knowledge. The kuffar have information of Islam, but they don't have the knowledge. That's why they are not guided. So we have to have the knowledge. The knowledge is the fiqh. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, when he supplicated for Ibn Abbas, he supplicated of two things. He asked Allah two things for Ibn Abbas. عَلِّمْهُ التَّأْوِيلِ وَفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Ilm and fiqh. So So we have to differ between these two, and we have to yani have the fiqh of this religion. Wallahu a'lam.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. The next question is there any supporting hadith to break the fast with dates or water? If not, then a person who breaks their fast with dates will not receive a greater reward than the one who uses other than dates. أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم.
The hadith that is يعني mentioning the break fasting with dates or water is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. Again, yani she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to break fast on rutab, which is the fresh date, or if he doesn't find rutabat, he breaks fasting on tamarat, which is the ripe date, or if he doesn't find rutab or tamar, then he takes some yani he takes some water and then he goes for prayer. And there is hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned dates, that this is the best food that yani the person eats. And he, for example, said about sahur, he said, na'am, na'ma sahur al-mu'min al-tamr. The best of the sahur for a believer is the date. And also, he mentioned date in other hadith. He said, al-baytun laysa fihi tamrun ahlu jiyah. The house which has no date, the people who are living in it are always hungry, even if they have food. Why? Because date is the most rich food Allah Ta'ala brought to the mankind. And that's why Allah Ta'ala guided Maryam alayhi salam when she delivered Isa to shake the palm tree, although she cannot shake it, but Allah Ta'ala wanted her to give some cause for dates to come down. Allah will make the dates come down for her. So and Allah Ta'ala said to her, فَكُلِي وَشْرَبِي وَقَرِّي عَيْنَا. Eat from the date and drink from the water and yani, be settled eye. And also the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he did tahniq is to take some dates and chew it, and then you take it and put it in the mouth of the newborn baby. He Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he put it into the mouth of one of the children of Al-Ansar, the boy sucked it immediately. He laughed and said, the children of Al-Ansar love dates, because Medina is the land of dates. So there are a hadith of dates, but what is the reward? There is no any hadith that indicates the reward, to my knowledge at least. I don't say there is no, because it would be a lie then if I say there is no, but I say to my knowledge there is no hadith that mentions the reward of breaking fasting on dates or water. But this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And medically, I was going through many researches from Muslim doctors, and they said that the best thing for liver is the fresh dates, if not dates, ripe dates, if not water. And yani, you give the liver some time until it yani absorbs this sugar, which is the best sugar ever found, and then it yani starts working normally. So it means the time you go pray and come back. That's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if one wants to yani break fasting on chocolate or a piece of cake or fruit or whatever food, it's up to him. He's not in sin, but he lost benefit in this life of this food, the blessed food, tamar, and he lost the reward of following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wallahu a'lam.
Ahsan Allahu ilaykum wa barakallahu fikum. The next question is, could you please tell us the ruling on young children learning about Islam and Ramadan through nasheeds, videos, cartoons and the like? Afiduna barakallahu fikum.
Wallahi, yani this issue has taken a wider area in the Muslim world today. Yani it started by teaching them, but now it is kind of, it's a material of enjoyment. They don't stay without it, and that is really bad. And this will yani lead us to the days of Sufis, where they used to worship Allah by anasheed, and as they call it, Islamic songs. There is no Islamic songs. Ya ikhwan, the best thing is to teach the children today or after 20,000 years from now is the thing that 1400 centuries passed when the Prophet ﷺ used to deal with the children. He used to tell, for example, Umar ibn Abi Salama, his stepchild, he used to tell him, Ya Ghulam, Kul bi yasmillah wa kul bi yaminika wa kul mimma yaleek. So he taught him something good for him. He did not yani make him yani sing for him. And the other thing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told Abdullah ibn Abbas, Ya Ghulam, inni u'allimuka kalimat, ihfazillah yahfazuk, ihfazillah tijahat. At the end of the hadith, this hadith today, yani degrees of PhD being made, yani done on it. PhD. See, this hadith is given to a little boy. Why? So they are, yani they grew up with these meanings. Let them, yani grow up with Quran recitation, du'a. Teach them, yani what can benefit them. But yani anashid, cartoon, this will make them yani happy because they don't differ between good and bad. But they will love it. They will live with it until they yani die. They will remain. And as Sheikh Muhammad al-Mukhtar al-Shinqiti, hafizahullah, said in one lecture when he was asked about yani anashid for the tulab of tahfiz, he said, "No, you don't yani make them yani you don't make it the, yani a hobby for them, because what will happen? Whenever anashid is found, they come back. If anashid is stopped, they turn away from Quran, they turn away from tahfiz, they turn away from religion." And that's what we see. And yani look to the ulama. Do you want your child to be from amongst the ulama? Okay, take the biography of Ibn Baz and see how he grew up. Take the biography of Ibn Uthaymeen and see how he grew up. You don't. I challenge anybody can show me that Ibn Baz, Ibn Uthaymeen, Sheikh Albani, Sheikh Muqbil, Sheikh Fawzan, Sheikh Al-Aidan, I've grew up and yani listening to anashid or cartoon. No. They grew up in serious. They were in the halaqa of the sheikh in the house. Their mother review what they have studied, and they encourage them for more memorization of Quran, for more exercising of the sunnah. They give them sweets and like that, because they want them to yani, and that's why when they become adults, they become more serious than others. As Sheikh Ibn Baz rahimahullah ta'ala said that when the children used to play, I always used to stay with Quran. Akhi, subhanallah, who are the children who were with the Sheikh? We don't know them. When he mentioned them, he did not mention any of the scholars of today that he was his friend in boyhood. He did not mention any, and that means that all those children went to dunya only. For him, by staying with Quran, he became the noble alim, the noble imam of this time, as well as all the other yani great and grand ulama. You will see some old yani people of knowledge today, they encourage for anashid. When you go back to their boyhood, you see that they used to be in boyhood, in anashid. They used to be watching cartoon. And that's why even now, with white beard, with gray hair, and bent back, holding the stick, speaking very brightly, they are still saying anashid, subhanallah, because they grew up with it, they live with it. But the other scholars, always saying Quran, hadith, so... See what you want your child to be when he become a man or woman, and then work from now upon it. As they said, يَشِبُّ فَتَى الْفِتْيَانِ فِينَا عَلَى مَا كَانَ عَوَّدَهُ أَبُوهُ يَشِبُّ فَتَى الْفِتْيَانِ فِينَا عَلَى مَا كَانَ عَوَّدَهُ أَبُوهُ. The young will yani become young as he was raised by his father when he was boy. If he was left to anashid and cartoon, he will love it and he will grow up with it. And he will never, wallahi, I saw yani, brothers in the Jami'ah, and some of them in Kulliyat al-Hadith, playing these games on the mobile or in the computer. Say, subhanallah, is this what you are yani created for? You are talib al-ilm. Why? When I asked them, I found that from their boyhood, they lived with that. But see those people who are always involved in seeking knowledge and teaching knowledge and Quran recitation. You see them always when they are becoming men or women, adults, and become old, you see them always in those fields. And the people will need them. But people of Anashid, nobody needs them. Nobody needs them. Ya Ikhwan, we have to realize the difference between what Allah Ta'ala created us for and working for it, and what is found to be from the enjoyment. Wallahu A'lam. Naam.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. The next question from a sister, she says, Ya Sheikh, may Allah preserve you, is it true that the jinns or shayateen are repulsed by frankincense as dakhur, and the angels are attracted to it? And do angels accompany cats, and do the jinns occupy vacant places? And if a person moves into a house that has been vacant for a period of time, are there any procedures that the Muslims should take to free the house of jinns? Afiduna, barakallahu feekum.
Alhamdulillah, sallallahu sallam wa baraka ala Nabi Mustafa. First of all, let me give you this information and glad tidings. The jinn as the most creation that fears from the believers. See what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Umar ibn Khattab. Ya Umar ibn Khattab, ma salakta tariqan wala dakhalta fajjan إلا سلك شعبا إلا سلك الشيطان طريقا وشعبا غير الذي سلك. So the shayateen, the jinn, they are scared of the believers, but they have a sense. They can feel the fear and scaredness of mankind. So if you become scared of jinn, they become brave and start scaring you. So what you need to do is, as what Allah Ta'ala said, Allah told us that, I didn't bring this from my mind, but from what Allah Ta'ala said and from my experience. Allah Ta'ala said, ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. That Shaitan scares his awliya, his followers. So don't be scared of shayateen, but scared of me, of Allah Ta'ala, if you are a real believer. So if you are a real believer, don't get scared of shayateen. And regarding incense, this is not true. This is commonly known by the Sufis. The Sufis, they say that the shayateen run away from the bukhur, the incense, but it's not true. It is not true. The angels like any good smell. The shayateen doesn't like good smell, they like bad smell, and that's why they whisper for one not to take shower, they whisper for one not to clean up, and that's why you see the kuffar when they go for toilet, when they urinate or the bathroom, they clean with paper only, they don't clean well, and that's why shayateen controls them. Alam tara anna arsalna shayateena ala al-kafirina ta'uzzuhum azza. Allah Ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't you see that we have sent the shayateen to the kafirin, pushing them to the evil, more evil. And that's why, Ya Ikhwan, we need always to be clean. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ encouraged us to be on wudu always. And put the perfume, the Prophet ﷺ said, حُبِّبَ لِي مِن دُنْيَاكُمْ النِّسَاءُ وَالطِّيبُ. It was made more beloved for me, from your life, the woman, wives, and the perfume. So use perfume, incense, that is good. But don't think that, the shayateen will run away and the angels will come. No, it's not. It's true, the shayateen do not like the good smell. The angels would not, they like the good smell. But at the same time, don't make this idea capture your mind. What can turn the shayateen away? Why I say that? Because some people who will be captured by this idea, they will one day forget to perfume, and then they start thinking, shaitan is here, shaitan is there, jinn is here, jinn is there. Anybody whistles or anybody says anything, this is shaitan. That is bad. Akhi, remembrance of Allah. Remembrance of Allah. Allah Ta'ala said, الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلِيهِمْ آيَاتُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Those whom, if Allah is mentioned before them, their hearts become scared and fearing Him. And when once the ayah, the Quran, is recited on them, they become subtle, and their iman increases. And the other ayah, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ by the remembrance of Allah, the heart becomes settled. So you do a lot of remembrance, the remembrance of the morning, of the evening, remembrance of entering house, getting out of the house, exiting house, entering the toilet, exiting the toilet, entering the mosque, exiting the mosque, getting into your car. Yani all you take the whole remembrance that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. So inshallah you'll be protected. And when you get to the house, it's not true that the house which is abandoned for a while, that the shayateen come and capture. No, shayateen is everywhere. Shayateen in every house. Shayateen with everyone. Allah Ta'ala said that everyone has a qareen. Has a qareen. قَالَ قَرِينُهُ مِنَ الْجِنِّ قَالَ قَرِينُهُ وَقَالَ قَرِينُهُ as in Surah Qaf. So everyone has a qareen, a company from the jinn. So, but how can you be protected from that? By continuous remembrance, by continuous being with Allah all the time. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So you live for Allah, and Allah will protect you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah will defend those who believe Allah. And in the hadith Qudsi, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبْ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. فإذا أحببته كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به وبصره الذي يبصر به ويده التي يبطش بها ورجله التي يمشي بها ولئن سألني ليعطينه ولئن استعاذني لأعيدنه. So Allah Ta'ala is telling us that as much remembrance and worship you do, optional worship you do for Allah, Allah will protect you from your eyes, from your ears, from your hands, from your legs. That means you are surrounded with the protection of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala will send the angels around you. But when you get to a house, whether it is abandoned house, it is your house, it is somebody's house, even if your house, it is empty, it is occupied, what you do is, you say, As-salam. فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بِيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. If you get into houses, so say salam to the people in it. And in the other ayah, فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بِيُوتًا نعم وإذا دخلتم بيوتا نعم فسلموا على أنفسكم تحية من عند الله. So even if it is not occupied, if it is empty house, you say assalamu alaikum for your own self as Allah Ta'ala guided you. And by that, no shayateen, because in the hadith the shayateen will stand by the gate, by the door. When the person comes, they listen. If he says assalamu alaikum, if he remembers Allah, the head of the shayateen will say, go back, you have no place here. But when you come into the house silent or saying any other word but not remembrance, they say, okay, come here, you have a place to sleep, you have food, come. And they come into your house. So this is the way you protect yourself from shayateen. It is not related to the bukhur or this or that. That is from Sufism. Wallahu alam.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. The next question is, could we still pray our tahajjud prayer in the last third of the night after we pray Tarawih and the Witr prayer in the masjid, or should we postpone our Witr until after the last third? أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم.
It depends. If you are praying in a masjid and the Imam is doing the Witr, you better do the Witr with him. And when you go back home, you don't do witr, you do two rak'ah. But if you are praying behind imam who doesn't do the witr at tarawih, he does it in tahajjud, you better do with him tarawih. If you want to do more rak'ah when you go home, you do more rak'ah, and then you come back to tahajjud with them and do the tahajjud and the witr there. If you cannot come back for any reason, you do whatever rak'ah you can do, and then you do the witr your own there. But my advice is try always to be in the masjid. As Imam Ahmad, as in the book of Masail Abu Dawood, Abu Dawood asked him, Abu Dawood al-Sijistani, the Imam of the Sunan, he said, he asked Ahmad ibn Hanbal, is it more beloved to you that the man stands in his house and in the last part of the night in Ramadan, or stands with the people in the masjid? He said, no, the sunnah of the Muslims is more beloved to me, meaning that he prays in the masjid with the believers. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he came after he gathered the people on Ubay ibn Ka'b to lead them in the Taraweeh, he came and said, "Ni'mat al-bid'atu hadi wa allati yanamuna 'anha khayrun min allati yaqumun." He said, "What a great yani bid'ah," meaning here in the linguistic meaning. It doesn't mean bid'ah in the religion, because the Prophet ﷺ already done the Taraweeh. And then he said, "And the one that they sleep at its time is better than the one they are doing now." It means the prayer at the last part of the night is better than praying at the beginning of the night. But if the people are splitting it, this is good. Although some people said, no, splitting is not from the Sunnah. I don't know from where they bring these statements. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ did not determine certain time, or he said, don't split it. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ, however, the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever prays at night and feels asleep, let him to go sleep, meaning he get rest, and then he awakes and continue. So how come they said that it cannot be splitted? Now, it is better to be in the last third part. If the people, all the people agree, all the people of that mosque agree to come to pray Isha and go home and come back in the last third part of the night, this would be better. But if they cannot, because some people are busy, or some cannot stay awake, then why don't they pray at the beginning of the night? Even, for example, now there in the West especially, we here in the East, and especially in Saudi Arabia, the King Jazakallahu Khairan gave holidays for everyone, Jazakallahu Khairan, in order to make them free for worshipping in the last 10 parts, the last 10 nights of Ramadan. May Allah reward him for all that he gave holidays for, whether they worship or they don't. May Allah reward him for all as his intention. But in the West, they don't have this chance. They are working. Tomorrow morning, they are working. And they go early morning. We cannot say, no, you have to stay awake all night. Can you let them pray? If they cannot, if they can't stand before Fajr an hour, then that is the best. If they cannot, after Isha they do Taraweeh together in the masjid, and the witr, and they go sleep. And whoever wakes, then he does turaqa as much as he like. Wallahu alam.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. Sister asks, what ibadat are encouraged during this month besides praying Taraweeh? Also, for sisters, is it okay if they don't go as much to the masjid, or are they encouraged to go to the masajid? And furthermore, tiqaf for the sisters, are they required to do this in the masjid, and for how long, and what are their requirements? Afiduna, barakallahu feekum.
The first mas'ala she's asking about the Taraweeh, is it?
Naam, the first mas'ala is what ibadat are encouraged during this month.
Yeah, besides Taraweeh.
Besides Taraweeh, naam.
All ibadat, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have gathered about six ibadat that is especially to be done in Ramadan. Qiyamul Layl, which is Taraweeh, the supplication, as in the hadith of Aisha, when she asked him, what should I say? He told her, say, Allahumma innaka afu wa tuhibbul afu fa'afu anni. Dua, as in the hadith of Aisha, and also Allah Ta'ala encourage us to do a lot of dua, recitation of Quran, feeding the needy and poor, and even feeding giving breakfast to people who are fasting. All these are ibadat. Also, having good relations with your family, with your parents, with your neighbors, with your forgiving the Muslims from whatever harmfulness they shown against you. All these are ibadat. And any ibadah is more rewarded in Ramadan than it in other than Ramadan. But Qiyamul Layl has special case in Ramadan. We have to give Ramadan more, and that's why the Prophet ﷺ, although encouraged us to do Qiyamul Layl in all the year, but in Ramadan said, من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، من قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، من قام خلف إمامه حتى ينصرف كتب له قيام ليلة. All this يعني shows us that it is very important in Ramadan to يعني do night prayers. Why? Because Quran was descended in night to the first layer of heavens. إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر حاميم والكتاب المبين إنا أنزلناه في ليلة مباركة. So it was descended in night. So better to يعني do much night prayers you can and recitation of Quran and dua. That's the first part of the question. The second part is whether it is better for the sister to يعني pray in the masjid يعني the tarawih or pray home. It depends. If you in home in your house mashallah somebody who can concentrate with Quran, you have no disturbance, then better in the house. If you say that, oh, in the house I cannot concentrate, my children yani keep yani noising me and yani there are a lot of things that I cannot concentrate with, then go to the masjid, but with the permission of the husband. If you have no husband, with the permission of the wali, whether father or brother or whoever your wali. And the second or the third thing is, when you go to the masjid, it must be safe for you to go. You don't go at night if it is not safe for you to go. So you have to be safe, and you have to be in complete hijab. You avoid perfume, and yani you come in tranquility to the masjid, if that is possible. If not possible, then better to stay home. And in all cases, the house for the woman is better, as in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And about the last issue of this question was the i'tikaf. I'tikaf is only to be in the masjid, no i'tikaf in the house. Well, not for man, not for woman. But if somebody wants to do i'tikaf but he's unable, Allah will reward him as per his intention, because Allah Ta'ala deal with the heart. We deal only with the exposed body parts. We cannot know what is in the heart, but Allah knows the best. If you are willing to go but you are afraid, you are scared that something happened for you, then you stay home and Allah will reward you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw Aisha, Hafsa and Zainab start building their tents in the masjid, he said, what is that? They said, these are tents of the mothers of believers. He said, al birra aradna, do they want the bir, meaning the complete submission to Allah, the pleasure of Allah? Then let them go home. And he stopped the i'tikaf and they all went back home. So i'tikaf in the masjid only. But if it is yani not possible, then no i'tikaf. You just yani yani stay home and do your best. Also, as I said before, i'tikaf can be even for part time. You can do i'tikaf for 1 hour, as many scholars said, for 1 hour, and you just intend to do i'tikaf, meaning to stay in the masjid. You have the intention to stay, not to meet somebody, not to yani rest, but to worship Allah. If you are doing that with this intention, Allah Ta'ala will reward you. Wallahu a'lam.
Ahsan Allahu ilaykum wa barakallahu feekum. The sister asked, what is allowed between the spouses that will not break the fast beside intercourse? Is there anything allowed? According to the madhab of Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah rahmatan wasi'a, touching your husband or wife's skin breaks your wudu, hence kissing them also breaks the wudu. How strong is this ruling in terms of dala'il, and what is the strongest opinion? Afiduna barakallahu fikum.
Alhamdulillah, the strongest opinion of this issue of breaking wudu by touching a woman, whether she is from maharim or none, is yani this opinion is for Imam Shafi'i. And the one who yani clarified this issue was ahead before Imam Shafi'i. It was Ibn Abbas, Habrul Ummah wa Turjuman al-Quran, the one who said, I never know anybody who has more knowledge about Quran than me. And if I know that there is somebody who knows more Quran than me, or understand the Quran better than me, I would go to him as long as the camel can reach that place. That Sahabi Ibn Abbas took the same evidence of Imam Shafi'i. Imam Shafi'i came after him, Imam Shafi'i said that breaks the wudu. Yani if a man touches a woman or a woman touches a man, it breaks the wudu of the man. He said that Allah Ta'ala said أَوْ لَا مَسْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ يعني على سفر أو فإن كنتم جنوا أو لامستم النساء لامستم النساء. Imam Shafi'i said if or you touch a woman, then he said that if you touch a woman by this ayah, your wudu is broken or nullified. Ibn Abbas before him said that this ayah is, as we say, a kinaya. Yani the Prophet, the Quran is mentioning the sexual intercourse here, but in a very, yani what we say, in a very polite way. And instead of mentioning it by it is yani known name, it was yani said that yani lamastum lams, and it means yani sexual intercourse, as in the other ayah, hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. Libas means clothes. Or yani like that. The ayah doesn't mean that the man is a clothes for a woman and the woman is a clothes for a man. No, it means you enjoy each other by the sexual course. And yani also in the ayah of Ramadan, nam, where Allah Ta'ala said, "Fakulu washrabu hatta yatabayyana lakum khaytul abyadu min al-aswad." Nam. Allah Ta'ala said, وَلَا تُبَاشِرُهُنَّ وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. Here, mubashara is also kinaya for yani, sexual desire. And all these, yani, Ibn Abbas said, أَوْ لَامَسْتُمْ, in the ayah which Imam Shafi'i took to be the proof and evidence for his opinion, is doesn't mean what Imam Shafi'i understood. It means that yani, if you do sexual intercourse with a woman, then this kind of mulamasa, this kind of touching, is the one that breaks the wudu. And we know that this needs yani ghusl. So yani, that is what yani I can say about this opinion. And what is between the man and woman, yani from what they can do, is that everything that Allah had made permissible, except if they are fasting, they should avoid. Or if the man is doing i'tikaf or the woman doing i'tikaf, they should avoid even the speech about it. Wallahu a'lam.
Ahsan Allahu ilaykum wa barakallahu fikum. The sister asked, what are the times where du'as are accepted during Ramadan? What specific du'a should say during different parts of Ramadan and on Laylatul Qadr or the last 10 days of Ramadan? Afiduna barakallahu feekum.
Wallahi, first of all, the times of dua are mentioned between the adhan and iqamah in Ramadan and other than Ramadan. Between the adhan and iqamah, there is dua mustajab. And Friday, when the imam climbs the minbar, at the time he's climbing the minbar, that is a place for dua mustajab. In the last third part of the night, there is dua mustajab. The person who's fasting, his whole day is a place of dua mustajab. The time of breaking fasting is dua mustajab. When the rain is yani falling, is time of dua mustajab. And dua is good in any time, and that's why Allah Ta'ala said, فَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي فَلِيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي وَلِيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. So Allah Ta'ala is telling us that He's closer to us and He wants us to make much dua, yani supplicating Him. So dua is any time, but there are times which are better than others and which I mentioned. But it doesn't mean that we don't make dua in other times. No, we have to do dua all the time. We have to keep a contact with Allah all the time. And what is the best dua? The best dua is what is mentioned in Quran. And what the Prophet ﷺ used to yani do. And there is a book called Al-Ruqa, Al-Dua Al-Ruqa في الكتاب والسنة for Sheikh Sa'id ibn Wahf Al-Qahtani. He gathered all the dua from the Quran, all the dua from the authentic sunnah. So I advise yani the brothers and sisters to take that if it is translated, or yani they can read it directly from the text. And يعني just as a quickie, the best dua is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used يعني to do in between the Rukun Yamani and Hajar Aswad. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. And what he taught Aisha to say in ليلة القدر, اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عني. And also what he taught her to say in عرفة, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير. And يعني the dua for your parents, رب اغفر لي ولوالدي, if they are Muslims perhaps, if they died as being Muslims, but if they died as being kuffar, you don't seek forgiveness for them, but you seek for yourself. And also for your children, as what Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Furqan, ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. And the like. And better to also ask Allah what Allah Ta'ala commanded his Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to ask him, as Allah Ta'ala said to him, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. This is the only place where Allah commanded the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to ask him of something. And he, Allah Ta'ala, told the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to ask him of more knowledge. So ask Allah of more knowledge, and Allah Ta'ala will guide you. The best also is what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to do in the night prayers. اللهم رب جبرائيل وميكائيل وإسرافيل فاطر السماوات والأرض فاطر السماوات والأرض رب كل شيء ومليك أنت تحكم بين الناس فيما اختلفوا فيه اهدني لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. Also يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دين. And the like. والله أعلم.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. The question is, could you give the children any gift for the Eid, or does it have to be cloth or money?
Wallahi, anything that can bring the pleasure to the children and even to the adults is good. As the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, تهادو تحبو. The hadiyah, the gift, opens the heart. That is يعني well known even to the kuffar. This is something Allah Ta'ala made in the hearts of mankind, even the kuffar. يعني gift opens the heart, that's well known. So you give gift to the children, you give them clothes, new clothes, you give them sweets, you give them money, all this is good. And even if you cannot, even those who are very poor and they cannot give anything, the smile is a big gift. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, تَبَسُّمُكَ فِي وَجْهِ أَخِيكَ صَدَقَة. That is the best gift. Wallahu a'lam.
أحسن الله إليكم وجزاكم الله خيرا. The next question is, if a person is fasting and they take a pill for pain due to their tooth without water, does it break their fast?
Does it mean that they swallow it?
Yes.
No, swallowing anything into the stomach is considered to be invalidator or invalidator of nullifying of siyam. They cannot take anything through the throat to the stomach. If they need, they can break fast. If they are ill and they cannot wait until Maghrib, they can break fast and recover it in times after Ramadan. But they cannot take anything, even with the water. It is not only water that can make us make our siyam invalidated, but anything that goes into the stomach is considered to be invalidated of siyam.
Tayyib Sheikh, what about placing under the lisan, under the tongue, which will dissolve itself?
That is different. If it is like this small tablets for the heart, those people who are suffering of weak hearts, they put small tablet beneath the tongue, and it it melts and it goes with the saliva. That's many ulama said that doesn't invalidate siyam. Allahu a'lam.
Jazakumullahu khaira. The next question is it permissible to use calculated prayer schedules for the 5 daily prayers and schedules to start your fast or to break your fast?
والله يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said نحن أمة أمية لا نكتب ولا نحسب الشهر عندنا هكذا وهكذا يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that we are illiterate أمة we don't write we don't calculate the month to us is like this and he showed by his hand 29 and then he said all this meaning 30 days so the month is either 29 or 30 days and he said صوموا لرؤيتي وأفطروا لرؤيتي so we have to fast upon the moon sighting and break fasting in the Eid by the moon sighting prayers Jibreel alayhi salam came one day and led the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for five prayers in their times in the beginning of the time of each prayer and the second day he came and led him in the end of the time of each prayer and he said the prayer is in between these two times so we are supposed to yani follow the natural yani signs or natural indicators of the times of salah and fasting but if the calculation for salah are made perfectly and it is yani exercised and known that is no problem but for fasting no we don't accept calculating because specifically the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned fasting and said that we don't count and he said it is either 29 or 30 and then he said fast for seeing sighting the moon and breakfast for sighting the moon Wallahu A'lam
Ahsan Allahu Ilaykum wa Barakallahu Feekum we have some questions about brushing the teeth after the fast has closed yani ba'd al-fajr
using toothpaste is allowed if in case yani with the condition that they don't swallow any of it but the taste of it which remains in the saliva and in the mouth that doesn't yani doesn't yani harm and doesn't break the fasting but better to leave it after Maghrib or do it before Fajr however if somebody yani does it in between these two times if he avoids swallowing any piece of it then his siyam is sahih Allah a'lam
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم the next question is there a difference in reward of praying Taraweeh at home versus praying Taraweeh with the Jama'ah is one recommended over the other also is it true that Umar ibn Khattab didn't always lead the Taraweeh Salah أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم
نعم we have mentioned that before we have answered this question we said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني encouraged the Sahaba to do the Taraweeh in the masjid with the people Umar ibn Khattab also gathered them and encouraged them to do it in the masjid Imam Ahmad was asked by Abu Dawood Sijistani which is better a man to pray in home in the last third part of the night or pray Taraweeh after Isha with the people in the masjid he said no the sunnah of the Muslims is more beloved to me than what is this man wanted to do So the best is to pray with the jama'ah in the masjid. That is for the man. For the woman, for sure, the best is to pray in the house. For the woman. Wallahu a'lam.
Ahsan Allahu ilaykum wa barakallahu feekum. The sister, she asked, is it okay to leave the children in diapers soiled with defecation as a lesson, as a punishment while party training? Afiduna barakallahu feekum.
والله يعني the taking care of the children is given to the parents but they must not show يعني what we say harshness against the children because they are يعني weak creation and they are you know they don't intend to do things they don't mean it they don't know it so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only guided the children when he sent Anas ibn Malik for something to bring he found Anas yani to be too late so he came out of the house and found Anas playing with the kids he rubbed on his head and he said ya Anas with smiling he was smiling to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he said ya Anas did you go for what I sent you to do Anas said no ya Rasulullah he didn't tell him anything And that's why Anas said, I served Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 10 years. He never said to anything that I did, why you did, or anything that I didn't do, why you didn't do. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to lead the jama'ah, and while in sujood, in prostration, Hassan or al-Hussein come and ride over his shoulder. And he remained there until the Sahaba think that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has died for the long prostration he did, until the boy leaves. And after Salah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to tell the Sahaba, my grandson was playing over my shoulders and I did not want to disturb him. Subhanallah! The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is playing and he doesn't want to disturb a child who's playing, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is leading the jama'ah. But today people's chests are very narrow. They don't want to have any mercy with the children. This is the way, yani, the children are created. They like playing, they like, yani, and sometimes they destroy. You just, yani, guide them. You show them mercy, they like it. They like mercy. And you show them, yani, some respect. You talk to them like, see the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam talking to Abdullah ibn Abbas. Ya Ghulam, O lad. He's telling Umar ibn Abi Salama, Ya Ghulam, O lad. Yani, subhanAllah, he came to Abu Umayr, the boy who used to have a bird with him. And one day he found him sad, crying. He asked his family, what happened to Abu Umayr? They said that his bird died. He came laughing to him and said, Ya Abu Umayr, ماذا فعل النغير? What happened to the bird? So he's joking to him like if he's a man. And Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, said, yani, about raising the children, he said, أدبه نعم لاعبه سبعا لاعبه سبعا from first year he's born until 7 years just playing don't tell him anything, just playing. وأدبه سبعا and from the 8th year until 14th you just guide him, do this, don't do this and this and that, like that. And from 14th, from 15th until 20, yani, until يعني صعبة ثم ترك له الحبل على الغارب. And after that you leave him, he's a man now. When he's 20 years old, he's a man. So you don't يعني beat, you don't curse, you just يعني deal with him like your friend. So يعني this is the way how to raise the children and treat them and deal with them. You don't show them harshness. You don't, yani, prevent them from joining the others in parties or in playgrounds. Let them go, and then you talk to them. Say, let them see that this is your mercy. Say, tell them, see, you did this wrong, but although you did that, I was very merciful with you. I was very kind because I'm your father, I'm your mother, I love you, and I want you to be the best. So listen to my advices. That's why I allowed you to go and play. That's why I gave you the gift. Like that. These are very sensitive creation. Wallahi, they are very, very sensitive creation. So we need to deal with them the way the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did with them. Wallahu A'lam.
Ahsan Allahu Alaikum wa Barakallahu Feekum. The question is, I have read in a hadith that when we pass gas during salah, during prayer, then we leave the prayer, make wudu, and come back and start from where we left. What do we do if we are praying in a congregation and we leave the prayer in the ruku, and when we come back, they are in sajda? How do we join the prayer in such a situation? Afiduna barakallahu feekum.
In regard to salah and tawaf as well, there are two different opinions for the scholars. Some of the scholars said that, as just this opinion was mentioned, that once a person breaks his wudu, he goes out and make wudu and come back to where he stopped. That is one saying, but this saying is not the best opinion that the ulama take. Majority of the ulama say that once you break your wudu, then you go back, make wudu and come back, do the prayer from the beginning, like if you didn't do anything. So if you are in the jama'ah, you join them where they are and then you do what you missed. Even if you have joined them in the beginning and then you left and then you came back, what you joined is considered nothing. So this is the opinion that most of the muhakkikin take, that once you break your wudu, the whole salah is invalidated. So you need to do it once again. Wallahu a'lam. And regarding tawaf, there are two equal opinions. In salah, there is one weaker opinion than the other. It is the one I mentioned. But In Tawaf, there are two equal opinions. Some of the scholars say that you come back to where you stopped, and some say that you start again. But there is a say, there is an opinion which and some of the ulama take. They say that if you break your Tawaf in at the Hajar al-Aswad, at the beginning of a round, then you start from there. If you break it anywhere in the Tawaf, then that is considered to be invalidated, that round, and you start from the beginning. But it is better for you to start from the beginning. Allah won't let your reward go away, as there is no clear evidence for any of the teams of the scholars or the two opinions of the scholars. That's why I say better you even in Tawaf you start from the beginning. Wallahu a'lam.
Ahsan Allahu ilaykum wa barakallahu feekum. The next question is, I have been pushed to lead the Qiyam by the Imam of the Masjid for Ramadan and also for the other Salawat. I do not want to lead the Salah. I am not fit to do so, as I don't speak Arabic nor I know much of Tajweed. However, the majority of the brothers in the Masjid do not know Tajweed either, including the Imam. Am I permitted to decline, or is it proper for me to lead the Salah? Afiduna, Barakallahu Feekum.
Wallahi, Akhi, this brother answered himself. He said that from the question that he's the best of the brothers there, even better than the Imam. So, if it is the situation, the Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Ummul Qawm, Aqra'hum li Kitabillah. The one who has more Quran is the one who leads the prayer. And especially that the Imam, the designated Imam, is asking you to lead the Jama'ah. And the Jama'ah wants you to lead the Jama'ah. That is a great reward, Ya Akhi. Lead the Jama'ah and start improving yourself in the Arabic and in the Quran and Tajweed. But, it seems that you are the best of all the brothers there. So, you better lead the Jama'ah, Wallahu A'lam.
Ahsan Allahu alaykum wa barakallahu feekum. The next question from a brother who is unmarried and has a sister he would like to marry, but has not asked for that yet. He cannot seem to stop thinking of her due to his he thinks of her too much. And because he thinks of her too much, when he urinates after waking up in the morning, there is a sperm in his urine and he did not ejaculate. So the sperm comes out with his urine. That he has two questions. Is there a sin upon him for thinking about a sister who he is not married to her yet? And secondly, does he have to do ghusl after urinating and seeing sperm in his urine? Afiduna, Barakallahu Feekum.
Wallahi, first of all, thinking of that sister, thinking of the sister who is he is not married to, that is that can lead to a sin. I don't say that it is itself a sin, because it might be something uncontrollable, but you need to make yourself busy with dhikr of Allah. Especially when you see like that, you say A'udhu Billahi Min Shaitan Rajeem, and you continue doing dhikr, tasbih, istighfar like that. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا Who fears Allah, Allah will find him away. But question is, why doesn't he go and marry that sister if he loves her? If he likes her, go and marry her. And that's it will end up this kind of fitna. The second thing is having the sperm out of thinking, this means he's not sleeping, he's awake, and he has control. So this can be a kind of sin. The Prophet ﷺ, if this man is married, then listen to the advice of the Prophet ﷺ. He said, إِذَا رَأَى أَحَدُكُم مِّنْ امْرَأَةٍ مَّا يُعْجِبُهُ فَلْيَأْتِ أَهْلَهُ فَإِنَّ الَّذِي مَعَهَا مِثْلَ الَّذِي مَعَهَا. The Prophet ﷺ said, if one of you sees a woman and he be attracted with her, then let him go to his wife and enjoy her as his wife would have the same thing that the other woman has. So, if you have a wife, you don't need to think of that woman. You just do a lot of remembrance and seek forgiveness. And yani when you see any woman, that woman or other, and you be sexually motivated, then directly go to your house and enjoy your wife. By that you kill the fitna of shaitan. But if you keep thinking and thinking, in one day you will fall into the sin. So yani my advice to you is, first of all, if she is not married, then go and ask her for marriage. And if she is married, then this is very bad. You need not to think of her. Even if she's not married, you stop thinking of her and just use your mind, your brain, and remembering Allah Ta'ala. That's my advice to you, and do a lot of remembrance, fear Allah. Wallahu a'lam.
Ahsan Allahu ilaykum wa barakallahu feekum. And this is the second last question, inshallah. The question is, I was on my menses, the sister asked, I was on my menses for 15 days this month, and it stopped. I was told that I should have started prayer after 10 days, but another sister showed me some dalil that I should have started praying after 15 days. So which one is correct? And also, menses began again 6 days after it stopped, and I am again not praying. If my menstrual cycle remains this frequent with so little days in between, should I just pray? Please help me. I have not prayed for most of Ramadan, and I am fearful that I will miss most of this month because of this erratic cycle. Afiduna barakallahu feekum.
First of all, this sister did not clarify that is this the first menses for her? Yani she's just been in maturity, age of maturity, or she is having menses all the time. But for if she is a beginner or yani in menses, and she doesn't know the period of her, then we say, look around your family, the women in your family. What, how many days the common menses in your family? If it is, for example, 6 days, then you consider 6 days, you count 6 days from the beginning of the menses, and after 6 days, you take shower, and you consider that you are out of the menses, and what is there is istihada. Is istihada. And then you make wudu for every prayer in its time. I mean, obligatory prayer. And you can't pray with that wudu, you can't pray the sunnah of that salah. Of that salah time. And if in case she is not a beginner, then we say you already know your menses period. How many days they are? Suppose they are 7 or 8. Then what is more than that? Then it is istihada. You take shower and you make wudu for every time. And if this yani blood comes back again after 3-4 days, as she says, or 6 days, then this would be also istihada. However, we need to also take in mind and in consideration the specifications of the blood, the color, the thickness, and the smell. As the blood of menses is dark red, very dark red, and it is very thick and smelly, bad smell. So if it has these three together, then it might be a menses. And maybe it's extending now the time. Some women, they have menses for 6 or 7 days for a certain number of years. And then suddenly it extends, like from 6 to 10 or 11 days. For the first month, she should wait until, yani, if the same characteristics of the blood continue, then she wait until the whole 15 days finishes. Next month, she looks. If the same thing, then maybe it's a correcting of the period of the menses of that woman. Third month, the same, then it is regularly going to be the same. But if 1 month, 15, the second month, 8, the third month, 10, then we say, look back to your old menses days and take the number, consider that this is the number of your menses. Once this number is passed, you take shower, and this would be your istihada. You can pray, but you make wudu for every prayer. You can fast, and your husband, if you have a husband, can enjoy you. Allahu a'lam.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. The question is, a brother and myself had some work doing and the money was to be divided equally. The brother went ahead and started the work and he didn't inform me that he had gone ahead and started the job. I arrived 2 days later to find that 85% of the job was completed. And I asked him why did he work, and he said he needed the money and he had started the job. And then I told him to finish the job and I paid him the money. The question is, was I still due half of the money as was agreed upon at the beginning? Fiduna barakallahu feekum.
No, as long as the agreement was that you both will start together the job, then and the profit is going to be divided in half between you or in a certain percentage, it should go as the agreement, because he's the one who did not stick to the agreement and started earlier without informing you. So he is the one who caused that, and that's why he need to share the same yani the same share. He need to divide it the same way you agreed upon. He cannot yani give you some little or from the time you started. No, he is the one who did not stick to the agreement. He is the one who did not call you. Then he is the cause of this kind of mess, and he has to divide whatever profit he got from the time he worked without you between you both. Wallahu a'lam.
Ahsan Allahu ilaykum wa barakallahu feekum. And this is the last question, inshallah. There are many questions similar to this question, and that is about i'tikaf again. Can a person make i'tikaf in the night and go out to work in the morning? Afiduna barakallahu feekum.
Na'am, to most of the scholars. Some of scholars said no, i'tikaf is i'tikaf. 10 days mean 10 days in the three mosques, and that's it. And that is yani not as what most of the scholars say, and even some of the salaf used to do. I'tikaf can be even for small time, for 1 hour or like that. Because what is i'tikaf? We said, and I brought the evidences for that before. I'tikaf is to stay in the masjid, away from the dunya and the problems and the attraction of the dunya, in the masjid only serving Allah. Only reciting Quran, supplicating, seeking forgiveness, remembering Allah. And this is something good. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that. نعم. انتظار الصلاة إلى الصلاة ذلكم الرباط. And he ﷺ said, ولا تزال الملائكة تصلي تستغفر للمرء ما دام في مصلاه الذي صلى فيه. And the like. So, if you stay in the masjid, for any time of the any part of the time, you are in i'tikaf, and Allah will reward you for that i'tikaf. But the reward is not going to be who stays for one night but not the day, or for the nights but not the days, is not going to be rewarded like the man who stays the nights and the days. Who stays two nights and days, and two nights and 2 days, is not similar to the one who stays two nights and 3 days. As much you stay there, as much reward you get. Wallahu a'lam. And may Allah accept from us all, and make us from those who stand in Laylatul Qadri imanan wa ihtisaban, and from those whom Allah Ta'ala release their necks from the fire in the night of Laylatul Qadri. And may Allah make us from those who always serve Him the way He likes, sincerely upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make us from those who gain the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the day of resurrection, and come to his lake and drink from it and accompany him in the Jannah. Make us from those who get the Firdaus al-A'la in the Jannah. Us, our parents, our families and children, and our shuyukh, and our Muslim brothers and sisters. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa jazakum Allahu khayran على هذا, وجزى الله خيرا الأخ زاهد حفظه الله تعالى وبارك فيه وفي جهوده. May Allah reward brother Zahid for all what he does for the دعوة السلفية all around the world. May Allah put that in his scale of reward in the day of resurrection, and raise him high in this life and in the day of resurrection and in the Jannah. والله أعلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
جزاكم الله خيرا وأحسن جزاء. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we wish we could go on and on to answer more of your questions, but our beloved Sheikh has to travel to Medina, and also it's time for Salah now. So we thank him for making himself available for us to answer your questions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him for going in such details for each question. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the gates of blessing for him and make this heavy on the scale of his good deeds. And we also thank you all as well for your attendance and taking some time out to increase in knowledge and learning the matters of the deen. نسأل الله أن يجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. And this is the last lecture for this month of Ramadan, so you all can get yourself busy in ibadah and reading Quran. Please visit our website www.albasila.org and click on monthly schedule for the details of our upcoming lectures. And with this, we conclude our today's session. Wa ila liqa'in akhar, nasta'udukum Allah, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.